I'd say about 25% of my clientele and divorces have some sort of procedure directly preceding the separation or immediately thereafter, and perhaps during the actual pending divorce. It seems to be more the female clientele than the males, and that may be unfortunate, judging by some of the moves I'm seeing in my office. So we're going to talk about that, as well as the detailed procedures that we love to hear about so much. Tiffany McCormick completed her plastic surgery training at the prestigious Stanford University, people, and she's a Reno doctor. Holy crap. She is certified with the American Board of Plastic Surgery, and she was nominated by Forbes magazine as one of the 10 most dependable plastic surgeons in the Western U.S. And again, she's in Reno. So if you want to know more about her or check out how beautiful she is, because that kind of tells you whether you want to go to her, go to her website at plasticsurgeryrenotahoe.com. Welcome, Dr. McCormick.
Thank you.
If you guys want to talk to the good doctor today or me, it's 823-1920. And again, this is the Marilyn York Show. I'd like to point out how unheard of this is, people, that you can talk to a plastic surgeon and an attorney for free at the same moment in the United States of America. I think this has never happened, and certainly not in the biggest little city. Now on to the biggest little titty. Let's talk to the good female doctor about probably the first topic I'd like to discuss is the benefits of having a female doctor instead of a male doctor. Because I personally, I don't look good naked, I'm not going to lie. And I don't want to be naked under sedation with a male doctor staring at my cellulitis, among other items. As well as perhaps the bedside manner of a female, particularly when we're talking about nips and tucks of our intimate parts. What, doctor, do you do at your office that's interesting or different in the bedside manner category?
Well, I'm not sure how different it is, but I will tell you that a lot of women come in and express how much more comfortable it is to go ahead and take off all their clothes and stand there naked and show all their areas that they've been concerned about to a woman as opposed to a man. I think there's an element of relief there.
And you've had children yourself, correct, doctor?
Absolutely. Two kids.
So you know, I'm sure firsthand, the joys of body dysmorphic baby disorder, as I like to call it, what the good babies do to our breasts and other areas.
Absolutely.
Is this a common thing that you see in your practice with people that have had children wanting to do some, say, repairs post-baby?
Very much so. The mommy makeover is probably my most popular combination of procedures, and that usually does involve the breast and the abdomen and all those postpartum changes that exercise won't help you get rid of. Stretch marks,
I was gonna say
saggy
marks.
Breast, saggy abdominal wall, loosened abdominal wall muscles.
Short of surgery, what are the options in stretch mark zone? Is there some pre-surgery lotions or laser options that may reduce perhaps the purple, as I like to call it?
I feel like if I could cure stretch marks, I would probably have more money than anyone in the world. That seems to be
next to cellulite.
The cellulite and stretch marks. So that's the bane of my existence. I will say, however, that the red or darkened or raised, really hypertrophic stretch marks can be treated with laser. And they can at least be softened and lightened, but they won't disappear. Often where you see them distributed the most is the lower abdomen, and a tummy tuck will, of course, remove all that skin, so that's a nice way to get rid of them surgically, but pre-surgically there's not a whole lot you can do.
I've noticed that the white stretch marks will not tan either in my attempts to tan through them. It just creates sort of a Freddy Krueger like fire
right.
Look. Is there any tips?
That's unfortunate.
On
yeah.
Blending the Freddy Krueger thighs into something more normal.
Maybe makeup.
Maybe. I think the self-tanners actually blend in and fill in the.
Yeah, I think that's your best bet.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to move on. I kind of touched on it in the intro, but what do you have to say about the Reno doctors versus, say, the bigger cities, Plastic Surgery Central, perhaps Los Angeles, 90210?
Sure. I would have to say, just look at the training. I think that's what matters most. It's not so much, you know, where you live now and what you do. Look at the reputation and the training and the board certification, of course. Unfortunately, Dr. Ray on Dr. 90210 is not board certified. So that's always surprising to people because they think, you know, just because someone's on TV, they're very good. I think a good example was the physician, and I'm blanking on his name, but he was on Oprah and also on Discovery Health and operated on Kanye West's mom and had a whole bunch of malpractice lawsuits, and no one really bothered to look at you know, the state board and see if he had any complaints or pending lawsuits, because that is, of course, all reportable before they just assume that he was an excellent physician.
Yeah, that would be a large concern. I'm surprised Dr. Ray is not board certified, but I have to say he's a tool.
Yeah, that's a common opinion. He has his followers, though.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd like to meet them, too. What does it take to get board certification? Is it a lengthy process?
It is. It's actually pretty stringent. So, of course, you have to complete an accredited residency before you can even consider it. And then once you've done that, you have to, within your first year of practice, you take a written exam that's pretty rigorous. And once you've passed that, you can move on to the oral exams. And, you know, that's usually within about 2 years after finishing your residency. And they basically grill you like crazy and decide whether or not you can be certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
And is there a minimum amount of accreditation, say annually, where you have to take certain courses to keep that accreditation?
Absolutely,
up?
Yeah. Continuing medical education.
As well as perhaps means to make sure if somebody made a complaint, you could lose that accreditation, I presume, if you got in trouble for some sort of
practice. If there are enough complaints and you can't back up what you've done medically or justifiably or even ethically, then there certainly are issues there. They don't only look at the way that you operate and practice medicine. They look at your ethics as well, which I think is important.
And obviously you're board certified, current,
yeah,
and in good standing.
Yes.
Do you think, doctor, that there's a percentage of patients that you could definitively say you've seen that have recently separated from their spouse or been divorced? Do you see sort of a...
Absolutely. I see patients for a lot of different interesting reasons, but that's certainly one of the prevalent reasons that I see it. And there are a lot of reasons behind that, I think.
What do they give as the main reasons for why the delay, why they didn't do the procedure before, or why suddenly they're inclined to do the procedure?
Some of the more common reasons are maybe getting back into the job market and wanting to feel confident going back into job market. Yeah.
At the Mustang Ranch, who was a guest previously, would probably say
that's an option. Yeah,
that would make some sense.
I think having to go out and make money again on your own is one reason. Another thing is obviously, you know, getting back out on the dating scene and wanting to feel confident about your body after having been married for a certain number of years.
I would say having personally been divorced between children and having had to explain the saggy boobs to a non-sperm donor,
absolutely,
children felt awkward. I'm not sure they cared as much as I cared, but it's one thing to make the donor himself apologize for the breasts. It's a whole other thing to take it on the single scene for men that haven't had children, for example. So
right.
I can certainly personally relate to the benefits of perhaps wanting that sort of procedure. What about males? Do you see male clientele perhaps in the context of separation or divorce?
I do. And often it's something that has bothered them for a long time. And, you know, since they've been married, it wasn't really a big issue until, again, you're looking in the mirror and getting back out on that dating or single scene. One side point I should say is that confidence, I think, is somewhat destroyed during a divorce, at least temporarily for a lot of people. And
I would concede that.
Yeah, you'd know that, I'm sure, you know, just from the clients that you see. And so often they'll come in and just want to feel more confident about themselves, just in general.
Have you seen that it's been successful for those patients that use it for confidence building?
To some degree. You have to be careful and make sure you discuss with the patient, you know, ahead of time, this isn't going to change your life. Changing your nose won't change your life, of course, or just having liposuction won't change your life. Don't expect it to make you suddenly happy and everything that you're going through. And we actually try to avoid operating on patients during a divorce or right after a divorce. We like them to, you know, give it some time, of course, and some thought.
The ethics, I suppose, again, of the board certification and the concept in general.
Absolutely.
823-1920, for those that are listening, we have some callers waiting, and I'm going to take a call from Stacy. Stacy, you looking to nip or tuck? Addition,
Hi.
Subtraction? What are you looking for?
I need to subtract some rear end thighs, inner thighs, and do like a tummy tuck.
So you want to subtract some rear end and some tummy tuck.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your question?
My question is that after having my daughter, I had an umbilical hernia, and I had that fixed, but I kind of have like a wrinkly belly when I sit down. And I know it's from the stretch marks, but you can't really even see the stretch marks. That's how light they are. Like, and it's only in maybe like a 2-inch suction of my front stomach, like right underneath my belly button. Can that get fixed by like a tummy tuck?
Okay, so you have a 2-inch section of light stretch marks just underneath your belly button, and you're wondering if a tummy tuck. Did you have a C-section or did you have a vaginal birth?
A vaginal.
Okay, because I talked to the good doctor about the mini tummy tuck concept myself, having had a C-section. Apparently, there's sort of a mini tummy tuck where she's able to use the same C-section incision and remove just a smaller amount of skin. Lacking that actual procedure background, Dr. McCormick, what would you say with regard to her wanting to remove the 2-inch section below her belly button that has some stretch marks? What are her options?
Is it right below your belly button or lower down?
It's right below my belly button.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a candidate for a full tummy tuck, I actually remove all the skin, usually to right above the belly button, so that would all go away in that section.
Okay. And then liposuction, is it, like, invasive? Does it really, like, hurt in your rear end and your thighs?
Are you assuming you're awake during this procedure, Stacey? You're a sick one. Because you won't feel a darn thing while it's happening.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Okay.
It's not bad. And what I love about liposuction is that the incisions are very small, and it doesn't really limit your activity a whole lot because there aren't big incisions that need to heal. There's no real muscle work. You know, you'll be sore in general, but I like you to kind of get back to normal activities, usually within about a week after liposuction. So it's not outrageously invasive, but it is surgery. And, you know, just for the record, I believe that liposuction is the gold standard. There are other techniques out there where they inject chemicals and try to dissolve fat that, you know, and that's not FDA approved because we don't really know what those chemicals do long term. Liposuction actually removes fat, doesn't just melt it and cause scar tissue, it actually removes it. So it's a great procedure. It's been around a long time and it's very safe.
Thanks, and we're going to go to a break now and have a word from our sponsors. I'm going to give you guys a heads up that after the second break, I'm going to have the good doctor inspect my saggy delights and tell me on air what she recommends to turn my half moons into full moons. Word from the sponsors.
A new home for the Bill Handel Show, 1270 The Buzz.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Motor Transport Association. Trucks provide us with over 90% of our daily goods. Without trucks, we'd all be starving and naked. The trucks of today are safer than they ever have been. However, one of the biggest hazards on our roads concerning trucks is the no zone. Here's a good rule. If you can't see the driver's face in the truck's side view mirror, they can't see you. Also, trucks need nearly twice the time and room to stop as cars do, so don't cut in front too soon after passing. Look for the whole front of the truck in your rearview mirror before pulling in front. Then, don't slow down. The Nevada Motor Transport Association and Nevada's professional truck drivers are committed to making our roadways safer. Although drivers make many important stops during the day, delivering medicine to our hospitals, food and clothing to our stores, and munitions to our armed forces, they are just like you. Because the last stop of the day is the most important stop. When we all arrive safe at home.
For more information on trucks and their contribution to safer roads, visit our website at nmta.com.
Wow, this place is so adorable. I can't believe we haven't stopped in sooner.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Betsy, look at these sweaters. 2 for $75, and they'd look amazing on our girls.
Maybe they would. I'm not sure if it's the right size.
Oh, come on. You know, they're perfect. What's wrong?
Suzanne, I have no business being in this store. I should not be shopping. Things are really tight right now.
Tight? Are you and Michael having trouble?
We're behind on our mortgage, and Michael is really worried.
Listen, Bill and I had the same problem a few months ago, and we got some really great counseling, and it was free. I'm going to email you the information as soon as we get home.
Suzanne, you're the best.
If you even think you may be in danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Certified housing counselors can help you work through your problems, and the service is free. Call the NFCC at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. That's mortgagehelpnow.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Live and local talk with someone that knows Northern Nevada. Corey Farley takes you home weekdays at 4 on 1270 The Buzz.
Love, 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 love never made a fool of me. I always was one, as you could see. I can't be good, so I'll be free, and I'll be happy, 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 happy by myself.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show listening to Dr. Tiffany McCormack to talk about plastic surgery and the nip-tuck good times. 823-1920. I hope that our callers are sitting by because we have some great questions. Let's talk about gay or straight. Who gets more plastic surgery? Do you know? Have you thought about this, doctor? Let's do males first. Gay guys, do they get more procedures than straight guys?
You know, you would think so, but I haven't found that to be true, actually.
Okay.
Seems to be pretty equal across the board, but I'm sure it depends on where you live, too.
That's totally fair. We have like four gay guys in Reno, unfortunately, because that explains why our decorating is lacking terribly,
exactly.
to name one category. How about females, gay females, more or less? Any noticeable pattern there?
Not really. I certainly have a few gay patients who are women, and no big, not out of proportion to anything else. Absolutely not.
Because I was thinking one of the benefits of being a lesbian is that we could stop apologizing for our female defects, given that we both should understand them better. But this is just this is just a typical straight dumb perspective, probably.
No, I mean, it's interesting, you know, some gay women have had children too, and their, you know, their bodies suffer for it. So,
Curtis, what are you calling to talk about? You want to add something or subtract something, Curtis?
Actually, I have a question related to my brother involving some plastic surgery that he had when we were kids.
Wow. How old was your brother?
He's 45 now, but when we were children, real unfortunate accident in a rodeo, and had a large amount of plastic surgery on his face. And 30 years later now, his left cheek has begun to sag noticeably. And my question is it possible to go in and get, I don't know if the word is a tune-up or to reassess earlier surgeries to see if it can be improved upon for his face?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, it's interesting. Panfacial fractures, historically, it was all about setting the bones and not really addressing the soft tissue and resuspension of certain parts of the soft tissue. And we've seen over time that the long-term effects have been kind of that drooping or sagging or lack of support. So, I mean, absolutely, I would think there'd be something that could be done. It's hard to say without seeing him, but it'd probably be worth checking out.
Wouldn't it be the case, too, doctor, that when you have a minor child that goes through reconstructive surgery for something like that, that the surgery would need to grow with them as often as the case even for setting a bone where they have to get a surgery later as they grow?
Sometimes. You know, one thing I'm wondering, when you say one side of his face is kind of drooping, do you know if there was any kind of facial nerve injury or?
To a small degree, yes, because he was hit by a bull, and as a result, the eye, from about the eye socket to the jawline, was basically crushed and rebuilt. So there was, I would only imagine that there was, to some extent, nerve damage, but cosmetically, obviously, it's becoming more of an issue throughout the years.
Sure, because I'm just wondering, you know, if some kind of an interpositional nerve graft or something like that would work. It just, you know, we'd have to kind of diagnose what the problem is and then address fixing it. But that's very plausible.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And the show is helping me become a more well-rounded person each week.
Thanks so much, Curtis. This brings me to the subject of how much of your surgeries would you say, doctor, are reconstructive related to a medical issue or an accident as compared to, say, the vanity surgeries that get all the publicity that everyone thinks plastic surgery is about?
Right. Yeah. About 25% of what I do is reconstructive, and that's anything from hand surgery to, you know, burn reconstruction and breast reconstruction, big lacerations, et cetera.
And on another subject, speaking of getting a procedure while another one is completed, there is a popular phenomenon going on amongst my friends and probably others that a tummy tuck during a pregnancy, particularly in the event of a C-section, may be a good idea. I will be honest and say I'm very skeptical, particularly considering your uterus is the size of, what, a soccer ball when you give birth? And
at
I don't, yeah, I don't know how to get that to go down with it. What's your medical opinion about the tummy tuck C-section combo meal?
Well, I'll be honest, I love the idea. Having had two C-sections myself, it would have been great. Obviously saves you another surgery, but from a medical standpoint, terrible idea. Obviously everything is swollen and edematous, and you're not going to get a good result whatsoever. You're not going to be able to tighten up those muscles. I think it's kind of silly.
And what about recovery, too? Do you have any concerns about that prolonging and or worsening the recovery of birth in general?
Certainly. I think when you combine procedures like that, you know, there's always an increased risk for complications.
Let's talk about a daddy makeover, because as much as they don't give birth, often they look like they have. So what are the most popular procedures for men?
I would say rhinoplasty. And
that would be a nose job for those that aren't obsessed with their nose like me. Go ahead.
Nose job is popular with men, and liposuction, that's another popular one.
What about the man boobs? What do we call those, moobs?
Yeah, I like to call them moobs. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, you can often treat with liposuction. Sometimes you have to do some skin resection too, depending on the ratio there.
Any nipple moving when having to do the actual cutting of the male boobs?
Often not. And the exception are the patients who have lost a lot of weight, a substantial amount of weight, because, of course, there will be sagging skin, and you've got to lift that nipple up into the correct position again. Or maybe someone who's older with less elasticity in the skin. But the younger men, that skin retracts really nicely, and it's usually just more an issue of kind of debulking the area as opposed to taking away skin.
And I would suspect that it may be actually harder to do a male reduction because you want to get it flat and contoured as opposed to a female reduction where you have a lot more fat to work with and push around into the proper spots. Is that true or not true?
Well, they're just different. In one, you're still trying to form a breast and cone a breast and make a nice pretty shape, which can be, you know, it's not hard, but it's just a little more challenge. With the men, you know, the issue, of course, is the nipple goes in a different place, and, you know, it's got, and you're right, you have to make it nice and flat, and you have to make sure that the man understands where the scars are going to be, because, you know, they're the ones walking around the beach without a shirt on, and as opposed to a woman, you can cover those scars up with a bikini top or a bra, but with men, you know, you have to make sure they understand where those scars are going to be.
Do they have a breast implant procedure for men trying to look like they're muscular, the pec implant, shall
Absolutely.
We say?
Absolutely.
And do you do the pec implant procedure?
I actually don't, but it's very common. It's very popular.
Is it a different shape implant? Please, God, tell me it's a different shape.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
And it's more firm, and it's obviously, you know, less projection, and you want it to feel more like a muscle than a breast, obviously.
Oh, so is it, okay, do you
so
put it under?
Silicone.
Do they put it under the muscle as well?
No, I think usually on top.
Do they have a saline version of the male implant?
Not that I know of.
Oh, well, that's kind of scary, maybe. What about calf implants for men? I've heard about this phenomenon as well, trying to look like one has calves.
Absolutely. Calf implants, bicep implants.
Whoa.
Yeah, anywhere you want big muscles, I suppose.
Interesting.
And I know where you're going next when I say something like that.
Yeah. So what causes the male boobs? Is there like a pattern of causes out there besides the obvious pot brownie habit or pot in general? I think they should do that on the pot commercial as a sidebar. The anti-pot commercials show moobs. That
right.
would be the real side effect instead of just the laziness. But
right.
Anyway, what are the other causes that you see?
One of the most popular causes are, you know, medications like...
besides steroids.
Yeah, besides steroids, there are, you know, well, there's a whole big list of medications, some of the antihypertensive medications, prostate medications, et cetera. And then, of course, sometimes it's just the way the body distributes fat. So if you're overweight, you might be more prone to it. And there's a genetic component, I think, too.
Okay, let's talk to PJ and see if PJ has moobs that we need to talk about, love handles. What's your concern, PJ? Do you need some calf implants?
Yeah, it's a scary day. Well, I was kind of skeptical and made fun of a lot of people who had plastic surgery. In fact, my ex-wife went from barely an A cup to a double D during our divorce.
Was that with implants or just due to overeating?
Well, that was due to implants.
Okay, just checking
in. The problem is, in the process, she got them fake. Mine came naturally because I like to eat.
Fair enough.
I'm getting back out there, and as I look at it, it's not just the moobs, I guess. It's also the tummy and all that. So I'm kind of curious on at what point are you, is liposuction an option? And, you know, roughly kind of costs, obviously we talked about recovery, but, you know, I mean, how fat is enough to go in and get the fat sucked out?
Well, PJ, one question I have is, given that you know the difference between an A and a double D, where would you say your moobs fall in the lineup of breast sizes? What would you be, a B, a C? Give the doctor some visual work here so she knows how much we're sucking out.
Let's see here. I'm touching. Gosh, that's the most action I've had in a while. Probably a good C cup.
Okay. Go ahead, doctor. See if you can help him out here with the ideas.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about liposuction. Actually, to tell you the truth, liposuction is best for exercise-resistant fat. It's not a great technique just to lose weight. So I usually recommend, you know, losing as much weight as you can on your own and getting as fit as you can, and whatever's kind of left over, I can suction out and then just maintain those habits so it doesn't come back. It's not a great answer for... I've gained some weight, I want to lose some weight, I'm going to get liposuction, because chances are it'll come right back and you spent a lot of money and had to recover and gone through some pain for nothing. But that being said, if your body's at a set point and you feel like no matter what you do, there are certain areas that aren't going to go down, even when you do lose weight, they stay the same, then you could be a candidate as long as you're not in the obese category.
So it looks like less burgers, PJ, and then go get a consultation with the lovely Dr. McCormack would be my recommendation. But let's drop some poundage first.
Sounds like a plan.
Good luck.
Thanks.
That brings me to one other idea. I'm thinking that perhaps we should invent, if it hasn't already been invented, a reverse sacectomy for those men who have had their spouse or girlfriend remove or usurp control of the cojones. I don't know if the good doctor is that tricky yet, but it's just a thought I had. A little sacectomy reversal, people. When we get back, as I assured the lovely public, we are going to talk about my saggy delights and have an actual plastic surgery consultation on air, wherein the good doctor and myself will describe the loveliness that I like to refer to as bubblegum on a hot summer sidewalk someone stepped in. That would be my breasts, people, post-baby, bubblegum on a hot summer sidewalk. Can't wait to hear it right after the break. Let's hear from our sponsors, because they are less disgusting.
1270, The Buzz.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
Hey, Dan.
Hello, John. What are you doing here?
Just checking out your latest project. Wow, looks great. My old foreman, turning out to be a big shot contractor.
Yeah, I tell you, though, this construction industry...
Right now, from Reno Mazda Kia. No payments until 2011.
That's right.
Buy any new Mazda and drive payment-free.
For 1 year.
We'll make your payments until 2011.
Plus,
a lifetime of tires is included.
And we'll take your trade.
Pay for or not.
We've got a huge selection of Mazdas in stock right now.
And ready to roll.
Including plenty of four-wheel drive models.
Like the popular and award-winning Mazda CX-7.
And Mazda CX-7.
X9.
Plus,
you're gonna love this.
0% APR for up to 60 months is available
during the crossover to Mazda event.
If you need a new car now,
this is the only place to buy.
Test drive a new Mazda.
Buy a new Mazda.
And make no payments until 2011.
I want to see you at Reno Mazda Kia.
9475 South Virginia.
Near exit 61 off 395.
All financing OAC. Taxes and fees not included.
Prices based on dealer addendum.
Dealer to retain all rebates and incentives.
Vehicle subject to prior sale.
Not be combined with other offers.
2011 models excluded.
Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go, doot-doot-doot.
And you're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I've exposed my breasts for all to see.
Talk
so
radio that's live and local.
I have the good doctor here with her tape measure to check out my breasts and see what, in fact, is the problem that causes them to look like crap, as I've discussed. So I will describe this process while I flash a few of the unfortunate victims in the studio. Doctor, go ahead and measure. What is the first measurement you do to determine if, in fact, they're as saggy as I believe they are?
Well, the first thing I like to look at is something called the sternal notch to nipple distance, and that's basically that little notch at the top of the sternum at the bottom of the neck, that measurement all the way down to the nipples. And so that tells me the degree of maybe droop or whether you have asymmetry.
Let's check my left breast first and see what the droop is on left. Little lefty here.
Okay.
Fortunately for you that are considering a consult with Tiffany McCormack, she has warm hands. That works out. And I'd like to say my nipples are hard, not from excitement, but due to probably their intimidation of this process. So now we're doing the right breast.
Okay.
What is my droop ratio, doctor?
Well, so do you want me to give numbers?
Go ahead. All right. I'm waving my HIPAA right here on the air. You go ahead and tell them the good news.
So on the left side, you've got a distance of 25.5 centimeters. On the right side, 25 centimeters. So you have a little bit of asymmetry, which is very normal, within normal range.
But not the goal, people, not the goal.
Well, it's okay. tell me, how tall are you again, Mary?
I am 5'9 and a half.
Okay, so that's not bad. I would like to see you at about 23 centimeters, maybe 22 centimeters. So I'd like to, you know, lift those up just a little bit and give you a little more volume at the top part of the breast. I also like to measure across side to side and see what size implant would fit within the breast tissue parenchyma here. And
this is going to be disappointing, people. I'm not going to lie.
You are at about 15 centimeters on the left.
My thighs are three times that, just to give you a perspective of my beauty.
And close to 15 on the right. So that's great. So you actually... yeah, we could get you really nice cleavage and get some nice fullness in here. And
she's talking about the top, the half moons that I like to refer to that used to be full moons. How come, doctor, when I bend over to give that gratuitous boob flash, it looks like someone threw hot dogs off a high rise? You know what I'm talking about? They flatten like little pancakes dripping down. It's not a sexy look, and yet that's supposed to be our gratuitous boob shot we give, like, oh, drop something and bend over.
Right.
It's difficult when you have hot dogs thrown off a high rise. What can I do about that? Will the implants help?
Actually, yeah, they will. And I think you would... Yeah, I think you would do well with a little bit of a lift as well, just to get those nipples a little bit higher.
Let's talk about the lift. What are the lift options? Is it? I understand that there's like a half lift, a crescent lift, and what are the scarring differences in the different lift options?
So that's a great question. What I usually tell patients is that I'm going to give you the least amount of scar I can get away with to get the best result. And there are different variations. So, of course, the first is just, you know, no scar whatsoever, just lifting with an implant itself. And then it goes all the way up the ladder from crescent, like you mentioned, to just around the areola, to what's called a vertical lift, to what's called a full kind of a wise pattern or the lesser known anchor scar lift.
Oh, I think we know the anchor scar because that's like our horror stories panic time. Let's see if I'm a good candidate for labiaplasty. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's talk about labiaplasty. What exactly is it and how popular of a procedure is labiaplasty?
So labiaplasty is basically, for those of you who don't know what she's referring to exactly, she's referring to the vagina. And the labia, you have inner labia and outer labia. And in some women, the inner labia are much larger than the outer labia. And so a labiaplasty just helps kind of trim that down and tuck it back in.
Does insurance ever cover that procedure, particularly if someone had a child and tore it and had some actual reconstruction needs?
You know, that's a great question. I think that's very dependent on one's insurance company. I haven't seen them cover that, but I wouldn't say no for sure.
Okay. And then in that line of discussion, there are some other strange surgeries out there that I have heard spoken of. There's the vaginal rejuvenation, say, trend, shall we say, right now. And I'm not quite sure what that is. It's not the extra stitch during the episiotomy. This is a more in-depth procedure, apparently. Do you perform that surgery at all?
I do not. From what I understand, it's sort of a muscle-tightening procedure, if you know what I mean.
And I like the concept, but what about, say, the collagen in the internal G-spot, as we saw on our favorite show, Sex in the City?
Right.
Any knowledge in the actual medical industry about that procedure occurring, whether it actually helps, and where the hell is the internal G-spot, doctor? Can you give us a roadmap? Because I would like to make it more obvious for myself.
You're asking me. I'm not a gynecologist. No, just kidding.
I don't think my gynecologist knows where it is either. No offense, but it hasn't been pleasurable for me.
I mean, as a woman, I can tell you, but no, it's I've heard of putting Restyle in there just to make it probably more findable and supposedly give it more sensation, although I don't know how that would work necessarily. I haven't performed the procedure.
Maybe we need some consultation from the ladies of the Mustang Ranch and Wild Horse to show us exactly where that little corduroy goodness is.
I don't know why we didn't combine this.
You know? I know. There could definitely be some benefit. In fact, having referenced the vagina, I'm going to make a reference to the Cosmo Health Report's January Hoo-Ha Handbook. That's right, the Hoo-Ha Handbook. I learned something from this, and I'm going to run it by the good doctor, because I think it may be BS. According to the Hoo-Ha Handbook, number one, it's just one part of your down there region. Most of us use the word vagina to refer to our private parts, but technically the term describes only the narrow canal that runs inside your body from the vulva, which is the visible area that includes the inner and outer labia, as we just discussed, the clitoris and the perineum, to the cervix, the lower portion of the uterus. Is this true, doctor, that is the only part we're supposed to be referring to as the vagina?
Actually, it is true.
This is very disappointing for me, and so I think it gives me more incentive to name our little lovely part even more names. So, callers, if you have some ideas about names to give the lovely parts, let me know, but remember the FCC is always listening, even to us small-town Reno delights. Looks like we got a call from Ruffy. Ruffy, I love the name, and we've talked before, and I appreciate you being a regular. What are you talking about today? Nips, tucks? We want to add something? What do you got for me, Ruffy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. What's going on?
Well, Marilyn, you know, I told you last time that my husband and I are going through a divorce, or we're about going to, and we have the three dogs, and he wants custody. But now what he's saying is that if I would have my breasts reduced and lifted, wow, so they're kind of firm and upturned, like before, that he won't divorce me. So I'm just kind of worried about it because I'm thinking, well, what if we do get divorced? And I know it's not a question about vaginas, so it's really kind of more about the possibility of my getting divorced. Is this going to be, would the court allow us to be paying for that, or are they going to make me pay for the breast reduction? And maybe the doctor could tell me about how much that would cost.
Well, Ruffy, if you're going to go with the procedure to hold this man down, he's got to be amazing in the sack. Let's start there, because I don't see anything that makes him worth keeping in our two discussions we've had thus far. He sounds like a real, and I can't say it on the air. So if you were going to go through the procedure, it wouldn't be under the jurisdiction of the divorce court, because as he promised, he's going to keep you around if you lift those dogs. So then it's just a matter of how the community is going to pay for it, since you guys are staying intact. The doctor can certainly address the question of the cost, but I say get rid of the dirt bag. If you want to lift them for you and get a new man that maybe comes with some new dogs. Then you can get rid of the dogs and the extra sack.
Exactly, and then maybe I get the boob lift and I find somebody else.
Well, I hope you find somebody else for so many reasons, Ruffy, because this guy is more of a dog than the three dogs you're fighting over. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, thanks, Marilyn. I'm coming to you.
Let's talk about cost, doctor. What are the general costs? And I'm sure they range.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a difference between lift and reduction. And just FYI, a reduction your insurance will often cover if you have symptomatic hypertrophic breast. In other words, if your breasts are so large that they're causing back pain or rashes or neck pain, et cetera.
And not divorce pain. They didn't put that on the list of insurance. Okay. All right.
So, you know, that's usually covered by insurance in most cases. In the case that it's not, yeah, absolutely, there's a range out there. I'll give you averages probably anywhere between $5,500 to $8,500. And then lifts, that's a different story. That's obviously not covered by insurance. And, of course, that depends on how extensive a lift you need and whether or not you want to put implants and what type of implants. So, again, quite a range, and I'll give you a range of around, you know, $5,500 at the low end all the way up to maybe $10,000.
Are you like me, doctor, and you take credit cards at least? Give us a little break out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There you go. See? Let's get some credit going, because this is a good cause, except in Ruffy's case, because I break up with her husband for her. He's not worthy. If he's listening, he needs to get a clue.
Yeah, Ruffy, don't do that for him. Do that
no
for
way.
You if you're going to do that.
I totally agree. We're going to have a break and talk to our sponsors again, but this time I promise I will not be naked when you return. There will be no more nakedness on this particular show. Perhaps we'll talk a little more about surgeries below the belt when we come back, and let's talk about that Heidi Montag transvestite look and delight and what she's created with her 10 surgeries on her formerly decent face when we get back from a break.
Can't get the buzz at work? Now you can. Go to KBZZ.com and listen live anytime, anywhere. 1270 The Buzz.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
Reagan, O'Reilly.
Your car or truck may be keeping a dirty little secret. If you haven't checked the oil lately, dirt and contaminants could already be shortening your vehicle's life. Operating your vehicle with low motor oil levels or dirty oil will eventually cause major damage to your engine and your checkbook. It only takes a few minutes once a month to check your engine oil level. And when you need a top off between oil changes, stop by any Cragen O'Reilly Auto Parts store. We'll have the brands you need at a price that will save you money.
Increase your engine's life by changing the oil every 3,000 miles. Stop by your local Cragen O'Reilly store to buy 5 quarts of O'Reilly conventional motor oil for just $1.99 a quart. Keep your engine clean and lubricated. Get O'Reilly motor oil for just $1.99 a quart. Only at Craig and O'Reilly Auto Parts, the official auto parts store of NASCAR. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly, Craig and O'Reilly,
O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
Hey, Stan, are you having a bad day?
You know what, Jerry? Every day seems like a bad day.
I was feeling the same way, but then I started taking North Star Resort.
Huh, yeah, I've heard about it, but it's not for everyone, is it?
Well, I'm no doctor, Stan, but North Star Resort does have something for everybody. 400 new acres of slopes, world-class tree skiing.
There's no way I can ski with this hip.
No problem. They have the best après ski scene in Tahoe, with new restaurants and bars, shopping, ice skating, and cozy fire pits.
Huh, you know what? That does sound like a good day.
There you go, buddy.
North Star Resort, a good day. North Star Resort is for everyone. May cause an increased appetite for s'mores. Decreased productivity at work is normal. Do not take if allergic to fresh powder. Be sure to tell your partner that you are taking North Star. Some users experience outbreaks of jibs, kickers, pipes, and rails. Ask your lift operator if North Star is right for you.
Ski or ride North Stars Resort's 9 feet of new snow for less than $63 per day with the North Star Quad Pack. Valid any 4 days, including weekends. NorthStarAtTahoe.com.
Food for thought from Farmers. Farmers Insurance was founded in 1928, a year before the crash. Back then, when others paid claims with IOUs, we paid cash. For over 80 years now, we've followed a conservative investment approach. We don't invest in junk bonds or financial derivatives. We are Farmers Insurance, and we are over 15,000 agents strong. To find an agent near you, visit farmers.com today for auto, home, small business, and life insurance, and be ready for tomorrow.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund. Guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and again, we're with Dr. Tiffany McCormack, local renowned plastic surgeon, 823-1920. You can check us out on Check us out on Facebook and themarilynyorkshow.com, as well as Tiffany McCormack. If you have more questions about her, you can look her up on her website, which is plasticsurgeryrenotahoe.com, or call her office at 284-2020. Back to my fun and exciting questions, which is, let's talk about the psychological health involved in individuals considering plastic surgery, because you've touched on it a little bit as far as the ethics go, but there's some phenomena I would suspect you see often. Besides the obvious dysmorphic disorder people that come in, what about the dudes that come in with their chick and take the pen out of your hand and start drawing bigger boobs, or more lipo, and the girl's clearly uncomfortable with the amount of pen drawings her man is putting on her? How do you deal with those situations, doctor?
Yeah, that's always a little bit tricky. The best way is to try to isolate the patient and, you know, just really get a feel for what they're going for, maybe even call them in for a second consult separately and just make sure that everyone's on the same page. It's never the right thing to do for someone else, as we alluded to with the last caller. This has to be about you.
Especially when the man is paying for it, though, I suspect they feel like that gives them a license to take the pen out of your hand.
Absolutely. It doesn't happen very often. I can count on one hand in, you know, almost 7 years how many times it's happened. But
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's
happens in my office more than that, let me tell you. What about the psychological effects of what we refer to as BDD, or body dysmorphic disorder? What exactly is BDD, and how do you deal with it if you have a consult where you think they may in fact suffer from some sort of disorder?
I pull out my People magazine with Heidi Montag cover. No, that's a tricky problem, because, you know, for those of you who don't know, body dysmorphic disorder is essentially when someone comes in and is fixated on a physical, quote, abnormality way out of proportion to how abnormal it really is. And, you know, there are some warning signs out there, such as, you know, the person who comes in and they've had their nose operated on 7 times. Jackson.
Yeah. MJ.
Yeah. Or, you know, they're pointing to an area that they're just convinced is, you know, fat, and it's just not. And so, you know, my job is to really assess that and try to weed that out. And, you know, we don't always win. Sometimes people slip through and can be very convincing, but it's a difficult problem, because no matter what, you're not going to make them happy. And no one wants an unhappy patient.
Let's talk to Beth and see if she wants a nip or a tuck, adding, subtracting, or me, everything, all of the above is needed. Well, or let's talk about the psychological impact of men. I mean, do you see the same patterns in men as much as you see them in women, given what is going on in our society and demanding perfection?
Oh, I think it's certainly out there. There's something we refer to in plastic surgery called SIMON, and it's an acronym for single, immature, male, overly narcissistic.
Oh my God. So that's...
it's actually a thing.
I married Simon at least once. Poor Simon.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, again, that's someone who you'll never make happy. And, you know, you have to make sure people understand that a lot of these little nips, tucks, and changes are really not meant to be life-changing or altering.
Do you ever send them out to have a psychological evaluation before you're willing to actually operate on them?
Oh, absolutely. That's necessary.
And are there certain doctors in town that you know, psychologists, that is, that would just tell you what you wanted to hear versus valid reporters that you'll try to steer them to see?
Well, most I've dealt with have been very professional. You know, my dad is actually a psychologist, so I refer probably to him most often.
But, oh, that's nice.
And of course, he's very good, Bill Danton.
Yay, Bill. We're going to see some more of those patients after some consults, perhaps. I might send some to Bill from my office because they may have like DDD, divorce dysmorphic disorder or something, and need to be told what's realistic in the divorce land. Okay, so let's see what... Darwin. We love Darwin. That's a perfect name given today's show topic. You want to add something or subtract it, Darwin?
Hello?
Hello, Darwin. We can hear you. What's going on? What's your question?
Just a minute. I want to turn the radio down. I'm sorry. I have a 60-year-old relative who had plastic surgery around his eyes to get rid of the wrinkles and the crow's feet, and also... his lids were droopy, and then 2 or 3 years later, he looked almost the same. Is this normal?
Back to this former droop, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, somewhat back.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know exactly what he had, but I'll assume he had some type of blepharoplasty or eyelid tuck, and I'm not sure if he had a forehead lift or not, but... you know, usually that should last a little longer than 2 or 3 years, but of course we do continue to age, and there's no guarantee as to how long it'll last because there are fluctuations in weight and skin elasticity, et cetera. I would say if he's right back to where he was, then maybe a redo is in order.
Well, is this something that a person should consider, that once he or she got cosmetic surgery, that it's not a lifetime thing and it might... need a tweak here and there every so many years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, with everything that we do, it's you're still going to change, you're still going to age, and you're going to redroop. There's gravity that we're fighting against, and we can't stop that. So, you know, I tell everybody that you know, this will probably make you look better in 5 years than you would have, but you still might need some kind of revision or redo.
And the older we are, the worse it gets, probably.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Darwin. Is that a procedure that would be something insurance might cover if you had droopy eyelids hanging in your eyesight that actually affected your vision?
It can. Usually, if someone comes in and they're saying that they're having trouble with their vision, I'll send them to an ophthalmologist to get visual field testing. And if visual field testing proves that there really is a deficit there, then insurance will often cover it.
This is Tiffany McCormick on the Marilyn York Show that you've been listening to. And again, you can look at our website on themarilynyorkshow.com. Call us next week. We'll be here every Saturday. And Tiffany McCormack on her website as well. Thank you so much for coming on air.